Facebook members know they can use the social media tool to see pictures of relatives, brag about their cooking, or crowdsource for advice. Facebook wants their users to soon think of them as the way to search out information. Recently, our tech ambassador, Tyrell Dennison, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy news studio to tell me about Facebook Graph.
Technically, it's Graph Search. Graph has been around for a while. One of the stories we talked about many moons ago was Open Graph, which is...
That's right. We did, yes.
Which is Facebook's integration. Basically, you putting all your stuff into Facebook.
Right.
And so your Spotify connects with Facebook. Your Yelp connects with Facebook. Mm-hmm. Things ask you to sign in with your Facebook so that they can send information to Facebook. That's the Open Graph. And it,
which I have resisted,
right,
pretty much.
As have I, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of it. But if you buy into Facebook's mentality, it affords you a lot of really neat things. Now, there's a lot of stuff you have to give up. There's a trade. There's a give and a take with it. Netflix is now – they've passed the law. They've gotten the law amended to allow what you watch on Netflix, if you sign in with your Facebook account, to be put to your Facebook. And so all this stuff is there now, and they've now made it searchable. With Graph Search. And so what it means is now you can search, instead of looking for a restaurant in Fayetteville, you're like, I want to see if there's any new restaurants in Fayetteville that I haven't, or no, say you're going to Bentonville. This is a great example. You're a Fayetteville resident. You're going to Bentonville. You may not make the trip up there that often.
You know, a new restaurant seemingly open every day.
Yeah, so you're like, I wonder what's new in Fayetteville. I wonder what. And so you search for it on the internet and you find some stuff. Now you can take that search to Facebook and say, friends, restaurants in Bentonville that my friends like. And it pulls up all the restaurants that your friends have liked in Bentonville.
And if they put anything on Yelp, if they put anything as a Facebook status, that will pop up.
Anything integrated with Facebook or anything done directly into Facebook will pop up in that search.
So, in other words, if I type in, is there a restaurant in Bentonville that serves really good steak, and someone who I'm friends with on Facebook has said yes or has talked about it, that will come up?
Yes.
I'll get that recommendation,
yep,
even if that person didn't specifically intend it for me.
Correct.
So it's sort of this meta crowdsourcing among your acquaintances and friends.
That's absolutely what it is.
Okay.
And so it is potentially very powerful. It requires everyone to buy in to the graph. It's something that Google's been trying to do with Google Plus, because Google searches the internet, but they don't search social, not to this degree, and people don't use Google Plus. So it is something that Google, as a search company, wants but doesn't have, and now Facebook has it.
Does this also mean that if I have bought into the graph and I've watched Green Acres through Netflix and someone wants to know if Green Acres is a show to watch, and it will say, hey, Kyle Kellum's watched Green Acres.
They would search for something like friends who've watched Green Acres, and you would come up. Or they would search for I'm trying to think of other ways they might find that. Or they would search shows my friends have been watching.
Weird.
But that's the other thing. Yeah, you have to realize. And so that's, you know, we go back to the guilty pleasure mentality, and we'll go back to my favorite example. So I'm on Spotify, and I'm listening to my Nickelback, because Nickelback's my guilty pleasure. And I'm just like, I've got it plugged in, and it's showing up on Facebook, and this is like music my friends are listening to. Boom, there's Tyrell listening to Nickelback. He's been listening to Nickelback once a month for the last 5 months. And
what's this going to take off?
There I am. We'll see. We'll see. There's a lot to get used to. It's obviously not open. Well, I say obviously. It's not open to everyone yet. It's in beta, and it'll get rolled out slowly. But if people start to use it, it has the potential to. And a lot of people are saying, well, there's got all kinds of like dating implications. So I search friends of friends who are single and like race cars. And race cars are bad. Like hiking. That makes more sense. And so all your friends that are single and like hiking and have said so into Facebook some way or another.
With a picture or something.
Yeah.
Does this take – what about messages, private messages that I send you? Would those be part of the algorithm?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
That shouldn't be. And anything that you've got set to private won't be. So private message by
Again,
nature, obviously.
You always preach this.
But this is why you have to know whether or not what you're putting in is set as private or public. Facebook wants you to be as public as you're comfortable with because it makes things easier in their ecosystem, in their world, and in their ideal. Again, I don't – people say Facebook's evil. The people who work at Facebook that are really bought into Facebook just see things a little differently than people like, say, you and I. Mm-hmm. And they see the value of what that little bit of sacrifice of privacy provides you. I don't see that. But a lot of people do.
Now, it's knee-jerk pop psychology to say that's a generational thing, perhaps.
Right.
That and younger generations make that trade-off easier than people who are your age or even my age.
Right. And that's the default answer. That's the easy answer. But there are obviously some people who don't fall into that category.
Either way.
Uh-huh. But it really does boil down to know what you're putting on there, know where it's going. Be aware. There's so many people that are unaware, and that's the only thing that I would fault Facebook for is, and they've tried to get around this, but some of it's not their fault. You know, you can't babysit people with your product, but
right.
The defaulting to public that they do because that's their philosophy,
sure.
That's their paradigm, catches a lot of people off guard.
Is it a bad policy then necessarily to think no matter what your privacy settings are, and you can set up different privacy settings from different – like your laptop allows you to do much more with privacy than your smartphone.
Right. Always do your privacy configurations from a computer. It's going to be easier to find and see what you're doing.
But is it necessarily a bad policy to just assume everything somehow might be public anyway?
Even if you've marked it all private?
Right. That somehow, some way, some wrong – finger connection, finger stroke on the keyboard has – I just assume everything I put on Facebook could be unintentionally or intentionally public at some point.
That is a safe assumption to make, realistically.
I'm almost to the point where I think anything I do on my phone, because so many things can be linked up, and I'm not always sure that – I think I say don't allow. I think I say don't link up. But I just assume that even that text message could someday horribly – even if it's not that important, show up somehow publicly.
Right. But that's something to really consider is that the internet is a giant copy machine.
Yeah.
And
well put.
Once it's in there, it's in there. And whether or not you've made it private, it's that information is there. And so it can be accessed. Now that requires exploitation of systems and cracking of things to really take advantage and use stuff for bad. So it's not as if it's easily accessible. And it's not as if the average person's private things are going to be just strewn everywhere.
Right.
But you just don't want to
know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is in beta, so we're going to watch this roll out slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One thing that I think this is a good quote, and I think it is a realistic view of what people are thinking about with this new thing. Ryan Tate is a writer for Wired magazine, and he said it was hard. This talks about people buying into the graph. Finally, it was hard to get motivated to put information to Facebook when the data was used to enrich CEO Mark Zuckerberg. So, in other words, before. With the graph, you put your stuff in and, you know, it shows up in your friends' news feeds a little, but mostly it was so you could be marketed to.
Right.
Because another truth of the internet and the products we use, if a product you use is free, you're not the customer. You're the product.
Right.
Someone is paying for that. You know, Facebook doesn't charge you, yet they're worth a ton of money. And they're worth a ton of money to the people who want to market to you.
So if I put Tigger in a status update, suddenly I get this advertisement for a DVD of Winnie the Pooh.
There you go. And so that's the issue. You become the product. And that's the mentality that a lot of people had. Why would I integrate this stuff into Graph? It's just going to give them more material to try and sell me stuff. But he says, but now that Facebook lets your friends mine the data, so it's not just companies mining the data. Your friends are mining the data. I'm itching to share more freely. So now it makes it a matter of this benefits my friends, not just companies that want to sell things to me. And
right.
So it makes it a little more appealing to people who were hesitant before to buy into this and contribute in a way that people will be able to use it. But that's what's key, is people have to contribute. Or if no one contributes, then this is worthless.
I suspect that if you and I can have a conversation 10 years from now, I suspect this will be de rigueur. I think it will work. I'm not really ready to buy into it, but it sounds to me like it could be something that a decade from now people go, oh, yeah, that's how I find out about movie recommendations or something.
Yeah, it's more than likely that's where it's going. And that's the nature of a sea change. Like, you see
exactly.
It, and there are always resistance and confusion, and we don't know, and we don't like it.
Thank you, Ty.
All right.
Tyrell Dennison is our tech ambassador, and he visits with news from the digital world about once a month.
If your child is being bullied on social media sites by schoolmates, when is it appropriate for you or the school to intervene? That's one of the questions we'll discuss on the next Fresh Air with Emily Bazelon, author of Sticks and Stones, about the culture of bullying and efforts to stop it. Her research took her to homes, schools, courtrooms, and the offices of Facebook. Join us.
Fresh Air tonight at 6 on KUAF 91.3 FM. Support for KUAF comes from the Everyone Can Sing Community Choir, beginning its spring session Thursday, February 21st. That's this Thursday night at 7 p.m. This is a non-audition choir open to men and women. New members are welcome any Thursday, and no prior experience is necessary. More information is available at 521-9937 or everyonecansing.wordpress.com.